for this.
You wanted to be a little. I could feel and see the wheels in your head turning.
Something happened.
Something else wanted to occur.
Something wanted to emerge.
Are you satisfied?
I feel really satisfied.
You could always do it again.
Should we do it again for fun?
Let's do it again.
Again, ready?
On the count of three.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh! That was what we wanted to do.
That's this one. I like when it's like a little sassy, like you just stepped out in a cute outfit.
Yeah, that's what wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. We weren't creatures of habit today.
No, we gotta mix it up today.
Speaking
of today.
Let's.
Guess what happened again?
What happened again?
The power went out.
It wasn't a podcast we did when the power went out. It was a video we did. Mm-hmm. But the last time, so get this. So Kristen and I hadn't seen each other in several months. Mm-hmm. And we met up in Seattle for the opening of Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion that Kristen was directing. And then we flew to Greece. And we had just the deepest download day. So it was like the whole day was journaling and the water and just talking about spirituality, and it was like the channel was so open, there was so much going down. All of a sudden, the power on the entire island of Mykonos, Greece went out. Mm-hmm. And we said, wow, we're really powerful. We attributed it all to ourselves and our brilliance. We said, we're so powerful, the lights went out.
What kind of narcissism is that?
No, this podcast is not about narcissism, but perhaps it should be.
That's the next podcast.
Anyway, and we were joking of, once we get a really deep spiritual message, the lights are going to go back on. Yeah. And we were sitting in the dark outside at this cute little bar having wine. And we said something that we can't even remember what it was, but it was something so profound. The meaning of life is blah, 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 blah. And the lights come back on. So cut to, Kristen and I have been apart again for, about a month. And I came up to Connecticut to see the opening of Darling Grenadine that Kristen's directing up here at the Goodspeed. And, of course, we had the same kind of day yesterday, this really deep day, all the journaling, all the spirituality, all the deep talks.
I felt like I kept throwing things yesterday because it was so deep. You kept channeling a mofo, and I was just stop!
Enough! Anyway, so the power went out again.
We woke up this morning, and I went to go wash my face, and I turned the sink on, and there was no water. And then I came downstairs, and I was I'll just use the water from the sink. No water. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that all of the power was out. And so it turns out that in the whole block.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, or the whole city. The whole city. Yeah. As you said, the whole little town here. And and so because it's electric, an electric system, there's no water either. So so we're joking. We're all right, so when we get together and there's deep downloads, the power just has to go out in the whole town.
It has to go out. Yeah.
But this is why it was interesting. is because we've actually been listening to this book in my car on power, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we've been listening to Barbara Stanny and her book Sacred Success. And it's really interesting. She talks about money and finance, but as a reflection of our own knowledge of our power. Mm. And it just opened up a conversation that we felt wanted to be had.
Yeah.
Considering that there's twice now that we've had power outages that we've been together, mm-hmm. and we're listening to this book all about power, makes us want to have a conversation about the source of our power and mm-hmm. our authentic power. And
how we use our power and whether we understand it in its real authentic form as it exists in us.
Sure.
One of the things that we were that I've been exploring this year, and I've been exploring it with my own therapist and teachers, is knowing our right size, and that many of us make ourselves very small or even invisible. And then we have a lot of, whether it's depression, anxiety, there's a feeling of being so uncomfortable when we're actually so much bigger trying to fit ourselves into a smaller space. So there's a way that maybe the ego feels satisfied being in a smaller space because there's maybe less stakes or mm-hmm. less to fear. But there's something that happens really fundamentally to our system that we get really into anxiety and torment and depression and melancholy when we're not living in our right size.
That's right.
And oftentimes when we're not living in our right size, we want to look around the world and compare and contrast. And who do we think is too big? Who do we think is too small? And we get into a really judgmental filter when really what we want to do is turn it around and say, where am I just not being my authentic size? And I do think that in line with what we were thinking about and talking about today, that being our right size has a lot to do with allowing ourselves to reveal to ourselves just how powerful we are.
That's right. And I feel like most sadness and depression and often anger or rage comes from feeling powerless.
Yes.
And so when we don't know how powerful we are or how we can affect huge change and success in our lives, we tend to go inward and to shut off and to shut down.
Yeah.
And the call of life always is to know how powerful we are.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that we've been talking about power and we've been talking a lot about the masculine and the feminine.
Mm.
And one of the things that we were saying is in our society, we have been taught to devalue the feminine in all its forms.
Yeah.
But especially our feminine energy, right?
Yeah.
So knowing that we all have feminine and masculine energy, the feminine is the part of us that receives.
Yeah.
And the masculine is the part of us that executes.
Yeah.
But when we've been told to devalue our feminine, we've been told to devalue the part of us that receives and that is plugged into the deep wisdom of the earth.
Mm.
Right? So that when we get still, when we go inward, when we take time to nurture ourselves, when we do all those things in the feminine energy, is actually when we get connected to deep and profound wisdom.
Mm.
And then it's the masculine in us that executes that, that takes that into the world.
Mm.
In order to create it. Now, imagine a society in which the feminine is undervalued,
mm-hmm.
and so people do not know to get quiet and to get still and to listen so that they can connect with their authentic power, the part of them that can create
yeah.
massive, huge change. And we are also trained in that the masculine is where it's at, that we need to hustle and we need to go and we need to do. So you get all these people that are working really hard, but it's not connected to anything. And so what's going to happen is you feel powerless.
Yeah.
Because you're not seeing real change. So I always feel like part of the conversation about power is about reclaiming the feminine, which is so interesting because when you think power, you almost see something masculine in your head.
Right.
So we're almost taught from the beginning that being feminine is being kind of weak.
Yes.
But the true definition of embracing your feminine energy is connecting to the power source that runs the world,
yeah.
right? To Great Mother Earth,
yes.
to the ultimate wisdom.
Yes.
And if we could all open up deeper to that part of ourselves that knows like it knows, right? And then allow that to be served by our masculine energy.
Yeah.
We'd be playing a whole different game.
A whole different game. And it's funny because we can talk about this from, you know, if we talk about it from the perspective of like the chakras per se, then the feminine process of creation in the second chakra comes first before the masculine chakra of the autonomy, the I am, the confident, the strength, the power center. But it's like the feminine holds and uplifts the masculine so that that power center can only be as strong as it is and have right action in the world if it's already been supported and birthed by this feminine energy. We can also talk about it from the quantum physics perspective, which is we are said to have our own electromagnetic signature, and that is what we're really like putting out
mm-hmm.
in the universe is our electromagnetic signature. It's like all of us having an autograph or all of us having a fingerprint, right? So what that is for us is a combination of what we're thinking and feeling on the regular, right? And the way quantum physics describes it is our feelings are the magnetic part of this signature, and our thoughts are the electric part of the signature. Now, if we think about thoughts and feelings, we often think that feelings are more in the feminine energy and thoughts are more in the masculine energy, right? They have to work hand in hand and they have to be in collaboration. But without attracting to us exactly the idea or the thing that we want to do, without getting still in our feminine and attracting like a magnet the specific thing that's meant to come through us, until we attract that and feel that activate through us, we can't then know how to, in our electric part of the signature, in our thoughts, to say, oh, here's the idea, here's where it moves, here's what we do with it, right? So we have to really attract and be magnetized and connected to our spiritual source in order to know how to even take that action. And that's even from a physics perspective, that we can't have one without the other, because if we do, then we will, when it's like when we have those things together, then we can have the observer effect, where we actually change what's being observed in our outer world because we are being the causer of what is being created. But when those things aren't in alignment, when they're not working together, when one of them is repressed, then all we actually can ever do is maintain the observation of whatever effect is already here in the world.
Ooh.
It almost feels like to me that any time we demonize any piece of the puzzle, that the whole system gets shut down. So I think reclaiming the feminine isn't about demeaning or making smaller the masculine. It's just making both qualities, both attributes, they're both in their right size. That there's actually room for all of it, and not only that, but it is the complement and collaboration of both that actually is where great change and the greatest power is.
That's exactly right. It's loving them both.
Mm.
I know. You said something today in the car, comparing it to a car.
Yeah.
You said that the feminine is like putting gas in the tank, and the masculine is driving the car.
Yeah.
But if there's no gas in the tank, the car's not going to go very far.
That's right.
And in the same way, you can have your car full of gas.
Yes.
And it ain't gonna go nowhere.
Yes.
Until you turn on the ignition and you put your foot on the pedal down and you go. Right?
Yeah. It's that's the thing of like our right power is knowing all of the things we have to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if we were given a whole box of crayons and we were only using blue and green. Then we're not using the full capacity of what we've been given.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we could be the best at blue and green ever in the world, but like red and yellow and brown and purple are also there for us and are available to us. So it's when we, you know, say, well, I have a preference or I like this better or I only know this, we just cut ourselves off from our rightful claiming of how powerful we can actually be.
What do you think is a way or some of the ways that people limit their power?
Well, I do think it can be, in a general sense, I do think it can be a masculine and feminine conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what I've noticed in myself and other women that I know or I've had as examples in my life or seen, and this may be my perspective also having grown up in a smaller town, I do see people abdicating their power when they feel they don't have financial resources.
Mm-hmm.
I see it when there's a story of you can't do it alone. You need a man or you need a husband to get where you want in the world. So there's like a suppression of a form of power. There's the idea of don't be too big, don't take up too much space because it might bother somebody, it might hurt somebody, so we don't fully land in our power. I think for women, it can also be the conversation of, like, powerful women are then labeled as bitchy or masculine, right? And then that's not something that we want to take on, so we shy away from that. And then I often wonder with men, having not been able to speak from my own experience of it, but I do wonder if the power conversation gets a little bit shut down because they're just told, don't cry, don't show your emotions.
Shut down your feminine.
Shut down your feminine. You have to be the biggest. You have to be the strongest. So just even physically, I think a man that doesn't feel as powerful as another man, that can be a real source of pain. And just I think also too, there's maybe lots of opportunities where men could have real strength and power in quote unquote feminine endeavors like the arts and things like that, and then that's maybe shamed and shut down because you have to do, you know, you have to get a real job, you have to make money, you know, like these become, if you make money and are a good man and a good father, then that's you living into your fullest power. So any gifts that are outside of that paradigm get shamed and shut down, which actually cuts you off from your source of power.
Sure.
I also think with men, it's the idea of you're not allowed to ask for help. You have to be the one who knows. So even asking spirit or source or a higher channel for help is sort of a weakness, you know. And so I think that it kind of comes up in lots of different ways for lots of different people.
And what do you think is a way someone can start to expand their knowledge of their own power?
I mean, I do think it's so individual, but I think that in a cross culture, if we've been trained that the feminine is not powerful, and the masculine is powerful, then what we've been even unconsciously conditioned for a very long time is to try to be more masculine, try to do more, try to hustle more, try to do things that look more that way. So I think anything that gets us back into conversation and celebration of whatever we haven't cultivated yet. So for some people it might be a different conversation. For some people they may be super in their feminine, and what would be more powerful for them would be to cultivate the opposite. So I kind of think it's like in yoga there's this world called tapas, like the food tapas that you eat. And what tapas is to cook is the translation, but also it's to take a contrary action or a contrasting action, and that's actually the thing that gets your life cooking. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if you're feeling like you're not activated in your power source, the way to actually like turn the fire up and get things cooking is actually to take a contrary action.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you're feeling disempowered, you just want to look in your life of where that comes up the most and take contrary action. So I think for myself, sometimes it's come up for me as people pleasing and not actually speaking what I might want. Even if it's something super simple, like, would you like to have strawberry or blueberry? Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes I actually don't have an opinion, but if I do have one, it's so important to just say it. Well,
yeah.
I would like this. Great. That's great. Or, well, I don't want that. Okay, great. You know, and we can celebrate the yes or the no, but it's so important in terms of a conversation of coming into power, of a contrary action, of your, if you're not used to speaking your truth out loud, then you must.
Then you must.
If you're not used to taking time to rest and nourish yourself, then you must. If you're not used to, you know, going and doing things that scare you, then you must. That what's going to help you cultivate the most power is doing the things that you feel the most disempowered when you do them.
Ooh.
And doing them in a new way so that you can have a new conversation.
That is true.
What do you think when you, you know, are doing a creative project, where do you think the power conversation comes up the most?
Permission.
Mm.
Knowing that you have permission to create.
Mm.
And that you don't need to wait for anyone else to co-sign on that.
Wow.
You know? That if you have something that you want to make, knowing that it wants you and that it wants to be birthed and that the resources are available. I think so often someone might say, oh, I'd love to be a film director, but film is an expensive medium. I know I don't have those kind of resources. I don't have a rich parent, so I can't. And what I know, like I know, like I know, like I know, like I know, is there are always resources available. And if we step in that direction, they will step up to meet us.
Mm.
And I think the same thing about people in starting businesses and anything that we have that we want to create. The fun of the process is watching how the universe will provide us with opportunities. And I say the universe, and I only say that because it's only what I've watched happen in my life time and time again. Like even with Darling Grenadine, it was an amazing piece that Daniel wrote. And there have been opportunities that have come up out of nowhere since the moment he first created it, where like the next step was always like given to us
as he kept moving forward.
Exactly. So even as we kept developing it, when it was like, what's the next step? It would be given.
Yeah.
And there are so many people, I think, that disempower themselves by not thinking that there's opportunities for them. Mm. And you know how often you and I will talk about, like, in the Invisible Support podcast, how, like, imagine a whole invisible team filled with players that can't wait to kick your ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
I would love everyone in the world to approach their dream as if you have a whole team of the unseen working on your behalf.
Yeah.
Right? That you... It, because I believe that we do.
Yeah.
And that if we just keep doing the next... whatever the next thing as it's revealed to us... that there are so many things that are happening behind the scenes that we cannot see happening.
And maybe part of the disempowering conversation is we don't know how to get from the idea to the accomplished screenplay.
Right.
Right? We don't know how to get from, oh, I wrote this song, to this becoming a Broadway musical.
Right.
I don't know how to get to, oh, I think I want to take an acting class, to, oh, I'm winning an Oscar.
Right.
We look at the whole process, and it intimidates us so greatly, because we feel not ready for those final steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like we stop ourselves from even starting if we're not ready for the end.
That's right.
But all we have to be ready for is the one that's right in front of us. And we just take that one step, and we are powerful enough to take the one step that's right in front of us. We always are. Because if we weren't powerful enough to take that one step in front of us, it wouldn't be in front of us. A different step would be in front of us, right?
That's right.
It's like, I always think, it's like if someone gets accepted into a program, it's like, great, go. One next step. One next step. I mean, you wouldn't have been accepted if you weren't ready for that. If you weren't ready for that, you would have been accepted into a different kind of program or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the universe is always saying to you, just lean in, just do the next one thing. That true, authentic power is listening to your heart and saying, what do I really want here? And as soon as you turn your dial, your radio dial, to that listening of what you want, it will be revealed. I love when Abraham Hicks says, when you turn the radio dial, you don't have to then say, well, I hope I turned the radio dial well enough for music to play. It's like, no, the second you turn it, the music is playing and you can hear it. So the second you tune into, I'm going to be in a conversation with my power, then whatever you hear, you don't have to live up to. That's already where you're at and it's already what you're ready for. So if you can just trust yourself and how powerful you are enough to just walk in that direction, then by the time you get to the Broadway show, the Oscar, the whatever, you will have been being made more and more and more powerful every step of the way so that you can step into that when it's time.
Well, and isn't it interesting how many people say to themselves, I'm having a conversation with my own power. We don't even start that conversation.
Mm-mm.
So we could... what a wonderful way to begin, to say, hi, powerful self.
Yeah.
Tell me more about you.
Yeah.
Tell me more about who you are and how you live. Tell me about the power that wants to be revealed to me. Tell me what my power wants to do on the planet. You know, I was listening to the guy who created the Water Project. I think his name's Scott Harrison. And just the billions of gallons of clean water he's been able to give to the world, right? And he's just one person who, like, had a vision and followed it. And the team came around him to make this happen, and funding and charities and, you know, I mean, all the people giving to his charity. There's so much inertia was galvanized by him having this vision of what he wanted to create.
Yes.
That is power. The ability to create that kind of change on the planet.
Yeah. And I think that we're so comfortable having a conversation with our humble self.
Oh.
We're so happy.
Or our critical self.
Right, or our wounded self.
Right.
Why are we scared to have a conversation with our powerful self, with our giant self?
Mm-hmm.
With our self-actualized self,
mm-hmm.
with our authentic self, with our big self. Why are we so intimidated to have that conversation? Because it's not us that's intimidated, but there's something inside of us that is masquerading as us, telling us to avoid that place. And so what I think is the most empowering thing is saying, oh, I'm willing to look you in the eye.
Yeah.
This monster in my closet or under my bed. I'm just willing to look you in the eye and say, what are you doing over there? What are you so scared for me to see? What are you hiding from me?
Ooh.
Who are you scared I'm going to become if I know that information?
Ooh.
That feels like a really exciting conversation to have.
A really juicy place to jump into.
And that feels way more interesting than worrying where I'm going to get money to make the next film.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like in your morning practice, sitting on your couch with your powerful self.
Yeah.
And say, talk to me.
Talk to me like a character that I might write.
Yeah. Reveal to me.
Yeah.
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 What do I need to know?
What do I need to know? What am I so scared of knowing? And why am I so scared of knowing it? You know, just asking the questions. And again, that balancing act of bringing the feminine into the conversation of the deep listening. The deep listening of saying, I'm ready to hear it.
And I do believe that part of our powerful self, this just in, this just dropped
this
in.
This just in.
Part of stepping into our powerful self is being willing to ask for what we want.
Ooh.
That's the first thing that one of the first things your powerful self will ask you to do is to become a person who can ask for what they want and who can receive what they want.
And not asking what you think you can get masquerading as what you think you want.
Ooh.
Actually asking for what you want.
Yeah.
Not what you think is possible for you. What do you want? No conditions apply. What do you want?
And every day, where is there an opportunity to ask for what I want?
Mm.
Knowing that it's not even about having to get it in the way that we think we need to get it, but willing to become the brave mouthpiece for the powerful self.
Yes, who declares this or something better.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm standing for.
That's right.
This is who I am being.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the truest power is being able to stand for that, whether it has shown up or not.
Like, I just had this vision, like, what if we all were like, today I will live as my audacious, powerful self.
Audacious.
Audaciously powerful
self.
Ooh,
yes. Yes, please.
It's so funny, I told you this, and I'll come clean and I'll say this on the podcast. I've been sharing with Natalie. I have the most wonderful associate director on this production.
Mm.
And he is so good and he is so thorough and he is so on it that sometimes I'm like, is it okay to really have someone have my back this deeply?
Yeah.
Like, it makes me feel so cared for and also that I can really do the job that I really want to do.
Yes.
And to receive it as the gift it is, as deep as it is fascinating.
Yeah.
To go, and if I talk to my audacious, powerful self, she'd be like, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
This is what it looks like.
This is what it looks like.
This is what it looks like.
Congratulations for standing for it.
Right.
So we could give it to you.
Yeah. Congratulations on having a great team that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get that.
You get that. You get all
that.
Get that.
We all get that. We're all deserving of it.
We're all deserving of it. And we have to stop looking around the world being jealous of people who have what we want and start saying, oh, I'm so grateful what I want is possible.
Yes.
I'm so grateful I live in the universe where what I want is being modeled for me right in front of me.
Ooh.
Because if they can have it, then so can I, because it exists in this infinite field of unlimited potential.
And so we all get it.
So we all get it. All who claim it, get it.
All who claim it, get it. All right, powerful self.
Powerful self. Let's do this. I mean, you know, it could be so fun for you this week as a little homework assignment to just get into a journal practice with your powerful self. Hey, powerful self, what do you have to reveal to me today? What do you want me to know today? What communication are you here to give me today? And see what happens when you get into that deep listening. See how powerful you can dare yourself to be. And watch as you give so many people permission to do the same.
that's what happens when you step into your power. You show everyone what is possible for them. Mm. That's what true power does. True power magnifies power.
Yeah.
And everyone they come across.
Yeah. And imagine if this world began to become powerful with all the light workers, all the healers, all the water makers, all the artists, all the songwriters, all the script writers, all the directors. Imagine if all of us became the powerful ones.
That's right. That's what we're here to do.
Oh, what a world it would be.
All right. Have a great week this week. Being powerful.
Power, power. Thank you for listening today. We hope you loved our podcast. And if you did, please share it with a friend and come visit us at www.thecreateseries.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at The Create Community.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Create Playgroup.
And if you want to see us live and in person and see how beautiful we really are, you can come on Sunday nights to the Actors Green Room in New York City.
And guess what else? We also now have Create in Los Angeles.
That's
every
right.
Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Space Station in Hollywood with some awesome gals. So feel free to check that out if you're in L.A.
That sounds like the best.
All the dreams. Have fun being a little power pop.
Power pop. Today I'm going to go be a power pop.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!